Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Age of Radio.
What's going on, everybody? We are back. This is episode 164 of the Dark Windows podcast. My name is Kevin.
I'm Kevin.
And if this is your first time, welcome. If this is not your first time, also welcome.
Please.
Before we go too far.
Well, we're not going to walk or run.
But no, I ain't going fucking anywhere. I'm comfy. I got my nice chair. Got new boom arms.
Yeah.
We can sit away from the table a little bit. We don't have to touch each other's fucking feet underneath it. It's pretty great.
Stop.
Now we just do it by choice.
It's always by choice.
So if you go over to any of our social media on like Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, you'll see that we are actually going to start offering some merch, and we're doing it all in-house. T-shirts, stickers, stuff like that. At this point, I want to say we've got like, it's either 9 or 10 designs up and available.
I'm telling you, dude.
And
we have some more, like,
we got more on the way.
More stuff that sticker form.
Yeah.
And such.
If anybody remembers the Varg artwork that we had from our friend Skinwalker Art on Skinwalk Art on Instagram, actually working on another one for us that is fucking excellent, and I cannot wait. But the rest of them are all the other designs are done by my wife, except for our OG logo, which is one of our listeners, Michael Falk, which we still love that fucking design. I've got
fucking
it all over
right.
my, we've got it all over the studio. We got a giant banner, got it on my arm, my boom arm.
I want that.
We can make that happen.
I have it on my iPad. I have it on my computer.
And the other thing we wanted to mention is that, if you order a t-shirt, we're not going to charge you extra for needing a bigger size, because that shit drives me fucking nuts.
No, we're going to do the reverse. We're going to charge you extra for a smaller size.
Yeah,
not. You skinny bastards.
Some of the designs will probably be a little bit more, just depending on what they are, the amount of time it takes to get them onto shirts and stuff like that. The stickers are all going to be set, but we're still kind of working on pricing and all that. But if you are interested in any of that stuff, go over to DWP Merch, DWPMERCH at gmail.com, and shoot us an email, and we can figure something out.
And we can post, we'll be posting more of what, you know, stickers, you know, like logo stuff. And
as new designs come out, we'll definitely be adding them up to it.
Because we're working on, you know, we have a whole bunch that we have. So
a lot of them have been like editing quotes of the night, just because those are fun. And there's one that Kevin and I are actually both waiting on. That was not the editing quote of the night, but it was just, it was so good. And then the design that my wife came up with was fucking beautiful. And I'm waiting for my shirt, because it makes me happy to look at.
Yeah.
But
with that said,
let's get into it here.
Yes.
So this week we are going to do a topic that we've basically had on our list since the beginning of the show, fucking
beginning of
almost
time,
4 years ago.
Yeah, and I said this, I was like, you know what? I want to cover some missing persons. And Kevin's like, okay, any particular? I go, I don't care. You know, just wanting to stay in Vermont or what? And I said, I don't care. He's like, you know what? Fuck it.
It's time.
I was like, oh, he said it. Ding, ding, ding.
So
here comes the Bennington Triangle.
And we kind of reversed roles here. Like, usually I would have been the one diving into more of the the human element, the potential, you know, crime of the whole thing, and you'd have been like, oh, hey, no, I got monsters and aliens and ghosts and shit, yeah.
And the backstory, the history, all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so we reversed roles here, but...
I said, tag, you're it.
It's all good, because I got to read a shitload of books by one of my absolute favorite authors, and I'm actually going to start off with an excerpt from one of them.
Joseph Citro. Yeah,
so... If you're not familiar, Joseph Citro is the man when it comes to New England folklore, more specifically, like, focusing more on Vermont because he's one of us.
Yep.
He is just fucking just chef's kiss, best author of all time for folklore in our little corner of the state. So I wanted to start off with an excerpt from one of his books called Passing Strange. And it is... Located in the Green Mountains near Bennington, the area has always had a reputation. It's an inaccessible region, remote and full of dark places, jutting outcroppings, vast marshlands, and quiet pools. It's easy to see how the topography may have given birth to legends, if not actual monsters. And that's just like a little bit of how he writes. He's so goddamn good.
It's really good. I
so
like that.
if you want to figure, like, look into anything New England folklore, look him up, and he's also a fantastic fiction writer.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, from what I've heard.
Oh.
But I also think he interprets some of the Vermont, like, not really cryptid, but like, well, maybe cryptid and the, I can't, what am I trying to think of? Also the, like, the unexplained.
Yes.
You know, the shit that's not, like, you can't, like, okay, well,
the legend and lore.
Yeah, this like shouldn't be here, or how was this made, or whatever.
Yeah, no, type of thing. He's the man.
And plus, we actually got to see him.
I've met him a couple of times at the readings that he does at Phoenix Books in Rutland.
Well, I met him once.
Yeah,
because you know, yeah, but he was really good. He actually did the reading from his book. Or one of his books, and it was really good. And then he gets, you know, it goes around. You can actually, like, if you have some stories or whatever, you can tell them to him and everything, or which is kind of cool.
Yeah. And he's working on another one where it's, like, local people's stories that have talked to him over the years. I mean, if it tells you how much I like this dude, within arm's reach at the moment, I have 7 of his books. Oh, hold on, 7. 8, 9, 10. I've got 10 of his books and 3 more in my my downstairs, like in the living room, dining room. It's just fantastic. And he's such a nice dude to talk to when you meet him, because he's, you know, you expect, oh, he's an author. But then you forget he grew up fucking 15 minutes from where I live. He's one of us. He puts maple syrup on everything. And, you know, he talks like one of us.
Yeah.
Yes. And he's actually the one that coined the term Bennington Triangle.
Yep.
That was during a 1992, it was a local radio interview that he did. I can't remember what station it was with. I believe it was one of the AM stations around here. But he came up with that because he noticed a lot of similarities between that area of our state and also Massachusetts, where they have the Bridgewater Triangle, where you have the same, not the same, but very similar things going on, because the Bridgewater Triangle is the fucking Wild West of the paranormal. There is so much crazy stuff that happens there.
Yeah.
Not just paranormal, but also crime-wise. There's, because if you go back into history, if you look right smack dab in the middle of that triangle, that's where Lizzie Borden killed her family. There's an abandoned mental institution right in there as well. The Taunton State Hospital. She killed her family in Fall River, which is inside of the Bridgewater Triangle.
Oh, yeah, okay.
There's a haunted swamp that was just full of dead Native Americans after some of them turned on the others and fought with the British against them. So the points of our triangle are the towns of Shaftesbury, Bennington, obviously, and Somerset. And in that area lays the now unincorporated town of Glastonbury, and more importantly, kind of the epicenter of all of this stuff, Glastonbury Mountain, which a couple weeks ago, we tried to go visit, and we failed.
Yeah, well, it's actually Bald Mountain. Is the technical term for it. Because Glastonbury is part of Bald Mountain.
Yeah, but it's always just been referred to as Glastonbury Mountain because it's...
I don't know if any of you folks actually have, where you live, have towns that, you know, just kind of vanished for different reasons. Like, I mean, I can, off the top of my head, I know of three. And within, let's say, less than five miles from us, we have two.
More than that.
Well, no, three, actually. Well, no, well, one, one is a moved town.
Okay.
And then the other two.
Well, what are they?
Well, Old Brandon.
Yep.
That's just technically a moved town.
Right, but you can still go find the remnants of the original town.
Like yeah.
Yep.
And then you have New Philadelphia.
New Philadelphia, yep. New Boston.
New Boston.
And Whipple Hollow, which was a town, and then it was absorbed into West Rutland.
Hmm. Yeah. I think they're actually missing one. I think it's... Another one is New Baltimore. I think it's what that's...
That's... Oh, shit. Where was that one?
Is that the one I'm thinking of? Because there's one... There's New Boston, which is up by the...
Out behind the Mountaintop Inn.
Mountaintop Inn. And then there's...
New Philadelphia is on top of Government Road. Or River Road. It's Government Road. Always will be.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Those are the two, and it's not Baltimore. No, it's just New Philadelphia and New Boston.
And the one I never understood was Holden, which is like, it's in Chittenden. It's its own town inside of another town that no longer exists. It makes no fucking sense.
Well, it's...
And it's like, it's the size of, like, three houses.
Well, it's technically, it's like New Philadelphia and New Boston. Okay, they were their own.
Right, and then it was absorbed.
But then got it, then like, they're like, okay, well, you're no longer really, you know. I mean, everybody calls it Holden, but still, it's not Holden, it's still Chittenden.
It's fucking North Chittenden.
But like, you know, what is, like, it's kind of like for us, like Florence.
Yeah.
You know,
well, Florence is their own town because they have their own post office.
True.
So.
True.
Holden has a fucking fish hatchery.
That is true. Well, that's technically
East Pittsburgh.
No, that's East Pittsburgh.
Yes. You sure?
Yes, the address is East Pittsburgh.
Well, yeah. Anyway, nobody cares about that.
No.
So Glastonbury was first chartered in 1761, way back before Vermont was even its own state. Vermont was not chartered as a state until 1771, I believe.
1761?
Yeah, is when Glastonbury
was. Most of the towns are actually chartered in 1761.
Right, but that was also, it was still technically part of,
depends.
New Hampshire, I believe.
Well, no, on this side it'd be New York.
Yeah, either or. But it was, actually, no, I believe this was would have been part of Massachusetts because it's further south.
Oh, true.
But,
That is true, you're right.
But when Vermont held its first census in 1791, there was a total of six families living in the town of Glastonbury. By 1800, so 9 years later, all of those families had left, all six of those entire families had left, and been replaced by eight different families. So it's like, these guys just fucking rotated out, you know? So by 1810, a total of 76 people were calling Glastonbury home. But by 1840, only 45 of them remained. Between people dying, people moving, you know. After the Civil War, Glastonbury finally began to kind of see like a little bit of a boom. Business interests in Bennington, which is pretty close to there.
Just over the hill, mountain.
So all those businesses there are eager to take advantage of all the supply of like timber.
Yep.
Because there's so many trees down there. It's so thickly wooded. And that even still, even like as the state grows and expands, it's still so heavily wooded. You can barely see through like into the trees down there.
We're mining, right, too?
Up there? Yeah, a little bit. And by 1872, they began construction on a railroad trolley, which ran up the mountain. The line ran along Bulls Brook and terminated at the place where the brook forked. It was an improper. It was a hell of an achievement with some of the people. I'm sorry, with some parts of the line climbing as much as 250 feet per mile. So that's pretty steep.
Yeah.
I mean, and remains of the old trolley tracks can still be found, and everything's grown back up around, like nature has completely retaken the area.
Yep.
But if you wander out through the woods, you can actually find the old train tracks. I've heard that there's also an old, like the bones of an old train still out there somewhere as well.
Hmm.
But I have no idea where to find it. We couldn't even find the fucking road to go where to park. Well, we found technically, but
we did, but it was kind of like, you know,
there's a bunch of campers there, and then it's like 12 foot deep mud ruts to get out to where you could drive out further to park. It's like, the rogue is not going to do this.
No,
we would need four wheelers. So meanwhile, the population had grown to about 199 people in 1870, and up to 241 by 1880. So within 10 years, it almost doubled. 241 is only the people that permanently live there. That's not counting the, like, the transient folk, like the laborers and stuff like that, yeah, that would come in and work somewhere, you know, live somewhere else. So at this point, the logging business is fucking booming.
Yeah.
They're making tons of money. So much.
I mean, by that time, you know, Vermont was the mountains, what we think of the mountains now. And if, you know, you see pictures of Vermont, it's luscious, green, you know, thick mountain tops.
Two seas thick.
Yeah. And then in the 1800s, it was fucking bare. It was bald.
Yeah.
And the reason why it was bald was because they had fucking sheep. And sheep needed open space.
Yep.
And the sheep at one time actually outnumbered humans.
Mm-hmm. Like still pretty damn close.
Like at one time there was the number of cows actually outnumbered humans. And I think that might be the case now.
You know, just for shits and kicks, we know there's about 600,000 people in the state. I'm going to do some quick looking.
Sheep? Not as much, because that kind of died off. But, I mean, compared to... But even having cows has died off even more. So.
Well, yeah, because the fucking dairy industry has killed every single small, like, family farm in the area. But
Well, I mean, that's just because of the, you know, basically you have to be a big farmer to make anything.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, if you had seen pictures of this town, I mean, you know, by that time, there probably wasn't much in the way of trees.
So there's only about 150,000 cows in the state now compared to our 650,000 people.
Yeah.
But back, 20 years ago, that number population-wise was larger, and so is the number of cows. But that's because everybody leaves this state because there's nothing here.
Yeah.
There's no fucking industry. There's nothing.
Nothing at all.
And unless you have a job, there's no point coming here. Anyway, that's enough of that rant. So the logging industry got so busy that in the 1870s, there was actually two additional sawmills built in the area. One at the original settlement called Fayville, and one in what was actually at the time South Glastonbury, where the railroad ended.
Mm.
There was dozens of kilns built so they could dry the wood out. So you could just, you know, those were all in Glastonbury as well. And some of them were to dry the wood out for, you know, lumber, like building materials. And some were calibrated hotter to burn it to produce charcoal.
Yep.
Because obviously at that point in time, everything was coal.
Yeah.
So instead of mining for it, we were making it.
Yeah, you know? That's smart.
And that was also feeding the iron industry in Shaftesbury and over the border into Troy, New York. Because Troy actually had a really big, like, metal industry. I didn't realize that until I started rolling into this.
Huh.
Troy, New York was almost like small Pittsburgh. there was so much of an iron industry.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then as the 1900s came around, it just kind of died out. And now I think the only thing you can do in Troy is buy drugs, but they have a Sonic.
True.
And a Popeyes. True. We drove there and stood in line for 15 minutes. Popeyes was like, nah.
Well, we didn't stand in line. Well, yes, we did. Okay. I thought it was more like we walked in. We're like, yeah.
We walked in. There was 3 people working there and like 15 people in line. We're like, oh, no.
No, no.
No, we're not getting chicken today, buddy.
No, no, no.
So I ate 2-foot-long hot dogs because I'm a fat shit.
Because we went to Sonic. Yeah.
So by the late 1800s, however, the mountain had been cleared of nearly all of its mature timber, and the town's economy starts to die off because you've tapped your entire resource out. In 1889, the railroad operation stopped completely. It was revived briefly in 1894 as an electric passenger trolley run by the Bennington and Woodford Railroad. So basically, it was in between for Bennington up to probably Arlington and that neck of the woods, and then from there north. And with all that going on, they tried to make Glastonbury a tourist attraction. Hey, come look and see how, you know, look at what the industry used to be, and, you know, try to set up little things like that where you could still go to like a sawmill and see how all the stuff's made. Nobody bought it though. So they spent a small fortune converting the area into a mountain resort, which opened in the summer of 1898. But a freshet, which is basically when you get a really, really rapid thaw in the winter and everything just kind of melts and floods all out. So we had one of those, and that wiped out the railroad tracks. It destroyed the ski area they were trying to build. It's basically a winter-style landslide, and yeah. It just fucked everything up.
See, they you know, if they'd actually had survived, I mean, nowadays that would have been, like, booming.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, considering the number of people in that area, well, technically it's Somerset where we went, but which is just over the mountain, but still, I mean, the number of people camping.
Oh, yeah, and that's all free camping up there, yeah, too.
And if they could actually have gone up into Glastonbury, well, further.
Thank the fucking gods that nobody's done that, because they would just destroy what we're about to talk about. Yeah. This whole place is fucking weird. So at this point in time, the population's dwindled in the early 20th century. In 1937, there's a total of 7 people living there. And then the state legislator put through a thing to unincorporate it as a town. You can still, you know, people still live there, but it's just like, you ain't getting mail here anymore. You got to go to the next town to go to your post office box because you're not a fucking town anymore.
Yeah, it's kind of like a New Boston, same way, which was like, well, yeah, you've got like 4 families, maybe yeah. Not even that. Yeah, okay, so you're done.
It's like another super famous one, Centralia, Pennsylvania, which is the town that Silent Hill is based off of because it's essentially burning underground. There's like 15 people that live there.
Yep.
I still want to go there.
Yeah.
Because they say, like, in certain spots, you can touch the asphalt, and it's, like, warm to the touch. Because it's a fucking never burnt, like, it's like a never-ending coal fire under the town. Like, that's fucking wild. I want to see that. So, let's get into the more interesting parts of this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The Algonquin people native to the area completely avoided as much of it as they could, especially the mountain. They felt that the area was cursed ground because at the top of the mountain, if you went all the way up there, the wind would come in from all 4 different directions. At certain times of the year, you'd feel wind blowing from every direction.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a weird omen, like a sign. Even today, if you went up there and that happened, you'd go, what the fuck is going on here? Because it's like a tornado almost, but it's not strong. You just, you're kind of just being buffeted from all.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? The only reason that they had at all was to go to the mountain is because that's where they buried their dead. So, again, anytime there's dead Indians involved, it's probably not a good place to go. Because they knew, you don't go here for a reason. It's like fucking Dyatlov Pass, you know.
Yeah.
When they named the mountain, whatever it was, but it translates to do not go there. There's a reason for that.
It just says Big Bull, stay the fuck out.
There's a reason for that. And fucking dumb people are like, ah, oh, these people have been living here forever. Ah, they don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
Come on.
So, you know, again,
it's not like, that bad.
Why listen to people that have been in the area since like 8500 BC?
They don't know nothing.
These savages that have lived here for thousands of years.
How dare they tell me
fucking ridiculous
that I cannot go up there.
Yeah.
It's bullshit. I'm going.
We weren't part of the country that sent them off to live somewhere else. We just killed them all. You know?
Yeah.
Welcome to America. I know you've been here a long time, but leave or die.
Our saying wasn't...
Actually, the Native Americans up here assimilated for the most part, because they're like, we don't like the British, we don't like you guys, and we really, really don't like the French. So then they just kind of split off and took sides and fought against each other, taking sides with whoever was fighting the other person. And
well, most of ours were like, we don't like those assholes across the river, you know, those Mohawks. Fuck
them. Actually, they were all part of the same federation.
Yeah, but they didn't like them. Because the Mohawks were part of the Iroquois tribe.
True, fair enough.
That federation. And Abenaki were just like, yeah, suck my dick.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, okay, you know, they had little battles. Like what was it? I guess, was it Samuel D. Champlain, I think, when he came here?
Speaking of assholes.
He actually thought that there was actually going to be like a war between like the Abenaki and the Mohawk, I believe it was. He didn't realize that what they called a war was really like, hey, I'm going to go over. I'm going to like stab a couple people.
Yeah.
Shoot a couple people with the arrows. Maybe kidnap somebody for ransom because you have something I want and then you're going to give it to me. And then that's it. That's it. We're done.
I love the modern concept of Native Americans just being completely peaceful. And then white folks showed up and all of a sudden they go to war. No. They were killing each other for thousands of years before we knew this place existed.
Wholesale.
And like the tribes that we had here, as violent as they got with each other and with Europeans, that's nothing compared to out west.
Yeah.
Like, holy shit, you go out west and they're like, oh, hey, I see there's some white folks riding through. You know what would be really cool? If I could nail the tops of their heads to a tree. I think I'm going to do that. Or just traveling through? Cool. I'm going to take your hair.
You're in my land.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out.
Here, they were kind of like, they were more, a little bit more peaceful and more understanding with us.
Yeah, because they're
but
like,
that was also early on. That was the prequel.
The enemy of my enemy is my.
That was America, the prequel, because we don't know what's going on here yet. You guys are being kind of cool. And then by the time we reached out west, they're like, oh no, we heard about you motherfuckers.
They're like, we'll teach you to maple syrup.
Yeah.
Sure.
Corn? Yeah, here, I'll show you how to do that. You put a bunch of dead fish around and it grows better.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
There's turkeys and shit too. We should eat some in November, I guess. Right? Yeah, cool.
Too bad they actually didn't.
Ah, whatever. You want to know why? Because the pilgrims had stupid fucking shoes and dumb hats.
Exactly.
Nobody wants to eat with them. Fucking pre-Mormons. Actually, they were way less fun. They were like Quakers.
Yeah.
Boring.
Anyway.
Anybody that makes Catholics seem exciting, you guys are fucking boring.
Well, they technically were Catholics.
Well, they were the boring ones.
No, yes, because they were like the super religious. Yeah. Like
ultra Catholics.
Listen, how dare you wear something with color?
I've seen The Witch. I know how it worked. It was a good movie.
Don't you dare wear color near me. And
is that an ankle I see, young lady? Whore!
Whore! Off with her head!
The devil's work.
How dare ye wear your show your ankle?
Yeah.
She was trying to seduce me. She showed me her ankle. That's it.
She's a witch.
She's a witch. Off with her head.
They're all fucking witches. Anyway, so after warnings from the natives that... After warnings from the natives, the settling families would meet with almost endless misfortune, disease. There's a lot of disease that went through there. You had your fucking run-of-the-mill smallpox, cholera, like...
Run-of-the-mill like, smallpox?
You know, like the run-of-the-mill diseases of the time, you know?
I didn't know there was any other type of smallpox. You know, the run-of-the-mill smallpox.
You had fucking smallpox. You had maybe not malaria, but like cholera for sure.
Yellow fever.
Dysentery. Shit like that. Just really nasty shit.
I mean, you know, you lose your family because of dysentery.
Yeah.
You have to go back to the beginning, start all over
exactly.
Again.
Exactly, because you fucking didn't ford the river right.
Your oxen drowned. Fuck, goddamn it.
And of course, mothers died during childbirth because that happened fucking like every other kid that you'd have. The one of them, like either the mother or the kid is dying.
Exactly.
It's just kind of, you know. One of the more interesting ones was in 1892, a man named Henry McDowell went berserk. Just lost his fucking mind and murders a man by the name of Jim Crowley. They had some kind of argument over something that's been lost to history hundreds of years ago at this point. And McDowell hit Crowley over the head with a piece of wood or a rock, something of that nature, like a blunt object. John didn't die. Like, Crowley didn't die immediately. He actually lingered for a few days where they're trying to save him and... Because, you know, you don't have fucking medicine because it's the not
yes, they
quite
did.
1900s
they had,
yet.
They had witch doctors.
Well, no, because we don't trust witches, remember?
Oh, that's right.
He eventually did die.
Well, actually, up here we did because, you know, we were separated from those fucking, you know, heathens down in Massachusetts.
That filth in Massachusetts. No, we didn't have witches here. We just had vampires all over the fucking place.
Listen, they will suck the fucking badness out of you.
We did have witches here too, though. But that's besides the point. But after he killed him, McDowell kind of hung around the area.
Well, you have to make sure he's dead.
Exactly. When Crowley died, McDowell took off.
Old McDonald.
So McDowell actually took off on a train headed to Canada. And then for some reason came back south to the southern half of Norwalk, Connecticut. And... He comes back into the United States and they caught him and he was sentenced to spend some time at the state mental hospital in Waterbury, which doesn't exist anymore.
At that time?
No, it doesn't exist anymore. Oh, yeah. The state hospital existed.
When was this?
1892.
Was it Waterbury?
Mm-hmm.
Not down in Brattleboro over the hill?
Nope. Waterbury.
Oh, because at the time I knew, okay.
We had two, I think.
No, we had one, because one was there was one in the Brattleboro one was the state hospital, and then they closed it to put it up in Waterbury. I just don't remember when that was. I thought it was close.
Now you just go to Brattleboro if you're a drug addict whose parents have money.
You don't have that money to go there.
Oh, I thought it was more one of the more upscale ones. Mm-mm. So while he was there, he worked on the grounds, and after they are really not sure how long he spent there, but at one point in time, McDowell hid in a bin, like a laundry bin, and escaped and was never seen again. The area was already seen as mysterious and remote, obviously, like we've mentioned. John Harbor participated in the first ever hunting season in Vermont in 1897. He was shot on October 1st, and no one ever came forward about the killing. His wife would eventually die decades later, never knowing who killed her husband. But the stories that persist were that McDowell returned to the area and just started randomly killing people. And then eventually went off into the woods and died.
Oh, yeah?
So it's like... it's kind of weird to think, you know, because that's not the last time we're going to mention a fucking potential serial killer here. So now that we know that the mountain has caused madness, tragedy, and murder, there's some other things that have happened there as well. The first and probably strangest of the paranormal anomalies is, again, super fucking strange. It's something called the Man-Eating Stone, which I didn't make up. The natives had been telling stories of a giant stone large enough for a man to stand on. And when you would stand on the stone, it would feel like it was becoming less solid and possibly starting to move. And it would eventually open up and just swallow whomever was standing on top of it. Could it potentially be responsible for some of the disappearances in the area or even on the mountain? Honestly, I personally don't think that there's a stone in the woods eating people.
It could.
I could see it.
La, la, la,
well, boom. here's what I'm saying is I could see it being a metaphor for a stone with a big split or a gap in it that if you fell into it, you're never coming back up. You know, kind of like it, like a wedge in a gorge almost. Like if you go to jump off it, you know, jump across it, and you fall between them. Technically, you got eaten by stone because you're dead.
So would you have gotten stoned?
No, that's when you get hit with a rock.
Oh, okay.
So one of the big one that a lot of people attribute everything to is the Bennington Monster. Again, the natives have known of a creature in this area for hundreds, if not thousands of years. And again, I took another piece directly from one of Joseph Citro's books, Green Mountain Ghosts, Ghouls, and Unsolved Mysteries. This is a book that when I was a kid, I took it out of the town library so many times that it fell apart. I know for a fact that I am personally responsible for McClure Library having to replace that book at least once because I took it so many times that eventually the binding fell apart and it just stopped existing. But now that I'm a grown up and shit, I'm on my second copy of it. So, and this one's autographed, so I try not to open it too much. So here's the little excerpt that I'm going to take about one of the first more notable sightings in the area. On one unforgettable nighttime run, the stage driver was forced to slow down when a sudden heavy rainfall ripped open the sky. The deluge was so fierce it washed out large sections of the road, eventually forcing the driver to a complete stop amid the dark wilderness. The horses bucked and whinnied, almost in a panic. The driver, fearing a bobcat, grabbed his rifle and climbed down. There, in the pale light of his lantern, he saw huge circular imprints in the damp ground. Exploring with his lantern, he saw how the imprints formed a line of tracks, as if something gigantic had passed by. And he reasoned just moments ago, or the rain would have washed the prints away. His heart quickened as he examined the tracks. Not only were they fresh, they were widely spaced and deep. The frightened driver concluded that if they were made by an animal, it must have been tremendous in size, very different from anything he had ever encountered. He called to the passengers. Yeah, why not? I know you guys are dry, but you want to come see this shit.
Yeah.
You know, hop out. I didn't like open the door and been like, no, fuck you. I'm good. I'm going to stay here. It's raining. It's I'll raining like a whore in church out. I'm going to stay here.
No. I'll take your word for it. I swear. You said it was, you know, that.
Large sure. Prince in the rain. I'm fine. I'll stay here. Thanks.
No problem. Anytime. No. I insist.
Oh, you grabbed your rifle because you think it's something that might be dangerous? Nah, I'm good.
I mean, honestly, I have to go to bed now. Yeah. Come on. I'm sick. Let's go.
So he continues here. He wanted them to see the tracks and help him determine what manner of animal might be in their midst. Just then, the horses reared and screamed. And if you've never heard a horse scream, it's a fucking awful noise. It is terrible. A savage, thunderous blow toppled the wooden carriage. Four terrified passengers huddled with the driver, quaking in fear. As the cold rain pelted them, they stared up at two large glowing eyes watching them from the nearby woods. A huge beast, partly obscured by tree branches and darkness, roared and trampled off into the night. leaving the travelers silent and stricken with horror. So that was from that book. So there's a lot of different theories. Obviously, what's the first one that comes to your mind here as to what this is?
Come on now.
Sasquatch.
Yes.
Bigfoot. Yeah, absolutely. So there's been sightings of Bigfoot-like creatures in that area ever since. Generally, the one that kind of caught me off guard the most was a lot of them see it when it's seen. It's usually like a reddish color, which is kind of unusual for our area when it comes to Sasquatch sightings, where they're usually dark brown to black New England kind of. But a lot of people claim it's more of a reddish, almost like an orangutan color. So it kind of sticks out.
It all depends, you know. I mean, you know, like I was telling person on Saturday night, because we were having the conversation about different colors. I said, well, look at our deer.
Right.
You know, if you see a deer that's from, like, high up in the mountains that really doesn't come down.
They're dark.
They're dark. And then, you know, you get the middle section. Well, they're a little bit, they're lighter, you know. But then you get ones that are down lower, and they're almost
tan.
Yeah, like at times during the summertime they look red,
right?
You know, or they'll turn tan like a light brown. They might during the winter go to like a darker brown.
Yeah,
but they won't. You know,
down to your food source as well.
True. So, I mean, look at them. They might have a different food source. One might be. You know, okay, a little more berries and such versus...
The other thing that makes this more believable, that there's potentially an animal like that around, and again, we've probably had the conversation 1,000 times on here, I personally believe if Sasquatch, Bigfoot, whatever is out there, which I think it is, I think it's an animal. I don't think it's a interdimensional being. I don't think it's a long-lost ancestor of ours. I think it's a member of the ape family, like a flesh and blood animal, not just like fucking poof gone into nowhere. A lot of people claim like with the cloaking thing, I see that more as natural camouflage where we figured out how to do it. Why wouldn't something else?
Yeah. I don't know.
You know, put like moss and stuff like onto its fur or whatever.
Yep.
And then you see it and it just backs into the woods quietly gone. It's completely vanished because it's camouflaged itself.
Exactly.
The line of tracks just stopped. Is there a tree right there? I bet they can climb. But what makes it more believable in this area is the fact that there is a ton of marshes and wetlands in the surrounding area.
Yeah.
Small little brooks that run all over the place that can be used as a pathway to different areas.
Yep. This is one of the things. Well, we've never seen them before. They've never seen it. You never seen it. Oh, you know, how do you know they exist? Well, think about it. Our mountains are vast.
Yep.
You know, hardly no one has been up to half the places.
No.
No one lives up there. And plus also we know that certain areas we have mountain lions. Well,
we have wolves in the state too.
You know, nobody, but you know, you don't hardly see them at all.
My favorite argument is, how come we haven't found a body yet? When was the last time you were walking through the woods and stumbled upon a dead black bear? You don't.
You don't.
Because animals don't just fucking run around and die somewhere.
No.
When an animal is sick and they know that their time is coming, they go find somewhere secluded. And if these things are as intelligent as I think they are, if they live in family groups like everybody thinks they do, they can hide or remove their dead.
Well, they bury their dead.
There's stories of people shooting them and then standing there and being like, oh, fuck, there's more of them, and watching them come out and carry them off. They're not just going to leave them there.
Yeah. I mean, like, my part, you said they're animal. I think they're I just think that there's something in the Homo erectic homogene line where they didn't quite fully, you know, take that step. Their line didn't fully take that step to, you know, come over across, or something happened, you know, so that they stayed where they are. But because of what
they didn't have to evolve any further.
Yeah, because of what they were, they're like, okay, well, like, we don't have to do any more.
To me, it falls into the Gigantopithecus family. Because there was a couple of different ones. Because you have Gigantopithecus blackie, which was the one that was like fucking 15 feet tall. And then there was a smaller variant that only got, you know, 6 to 8 feet tall. That's what I think. And I mean, things evolved to be smaller in the environment now, unlike when there was dinosaurs where they evolved to be bigger because of how the atmosphere and all that other stuff was. Things evolved to be smaller now. And you also evolve to your surroundings. So if they're up here, they might be smaller with, you know, different style feet to get through the branches and shit like what we have now. Or you have out in the northwest where it's just giant expanses of huge trees where these, they evolve differently.
But I mean, I think the reason why I say that, you know, it's some kind of branch off of the, of our, you know, family tree is the fact that my thing is because of the chat, because of the, like, the chatter.
Well, I mean, gorillas are like that too, though.
Yeah, but they don't have, like, they don't have, like, a lot of, like, talking and stuff like that.
But they communicate.
But yeah, but these guys communicate, like, through vocal.
So do chimps.
But when you hear, like, you know,
well, I'm not saying that these are chimps, but it's like in that same family.
Well, technically, we're, you know, they are an offshoot of us at some point, but we, you know, are
exactly
involved beyond them.
Exactly.
Like I said, I think they're in that area. They're not. I'm not saying that they're totally human, but I'm not saying they're totally
completely different directions. Then
I'm not saying that they're totally human, but I'm not saying that they're totally animal either. I think they're a middle ground.
But you know, it would still be considered an animal in finger quotes because it's not a human.
That's true.
You know, that's where I'm going with there. I mean, we're technically animals. Whatever.
Well, I mean, if you know, because I'm put tinfoil hat on, Kevin. Here we go. You know. If you subscribe to the ancient alien theory,
technically, which I think we all know where I fall on that one.
Technically, well, I mean, if you really look at it, we're an oddity because we were around during Neanderthal, okay, which is weird. We shouldn't have been because not all the other Australopithecus and all the other ones weren't around really for a long time during each other's like reign per se. Well, as far as Homo sapien was around a long goddamn time. They're finding them back further and further and further. So it kind of like leads to, you know, the fact that, well, maybe we were put in,
or maybe it's genetics.
I don't
where
know.
You know, you look at it like this: you've got different types of chimps that are completely different from each other, but they're still fucking technically chimps. They just evolve differently in different areas. You know,
but it'd blow everybody's fucking mind if we actually found out that we were, you know, we were planted here.
Even if we were, you'll never find out because history books are way too expensive to rewrite.
Well,
that's why they don't want to admit that we've been here longer than we actually have been.
Well, they have been. More and more scientists have actually said, hey, you know, we've been
very reluctantly,
you know,
very reluctantly,
because they're finding out more and more like, oh shit, you know, we're we've been here for a lot longer.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's enough of me fucking going, you know, ape shit.
Don't worry. We're going to have people on to talk about Bigfoot with eventually. Spoiler alert. Spoiler. We made some connections.
Yes.
One of the other things that's been seen there more recently, and again, I don't understand I'm not going to say I don't believe in the phenomena because I wholeheartedly do because I know what the fuck I saw. Dogman has been popping up more and more in the area. Makes you wonder if it's been there the whole time or if these are things that are migrating or potentially a different evolutionary line coming through.
Don't know.
But there's been sightings of Dogman-style creatures in the Bennington Triangle as well.
Yeah.
There's one that I can't remember what show it was on. I really have a hard time. I don't want to say I don't believe somebody, but I have a really, really hard time. This woman was talking about a experience that she had when she was a kid where she lived in the area of the Bennington Triangle. She lived just outside of Bennington, like out in the woods. And she had an experience where she was at a friend's house and there was a playhouse out in the back. They were out there playing around and she looked out the window and there's this, what looks like a werewolf in the woods. And it kind of like beckoned her with a finger and she followed it out into the woods and it sat down and started talking to her and they became friends and she would bring it food and this. I'm like, I don't know. I don't want to say you're full of shit because I hate when people
you don't want to be that person. Dismiss
that. But to me, I'm like, I don't think I believe that, unfortunately.
No. I think that somebody is imagination running wild.
Which, that's fine. I mean, have an imagination. That's awesome. But to me, that one I don't buy. I really don't want to be that dickhead that's like, ah!
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know. Also been hundreds of UFO sightings.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, we've had fairy sightings, fae folk sightings, gnomes, stuff like that. And phantom smells, where you're just out in the woods and all of a sudden you smell something that has no business being there.
Like, what that happened? That's like one of those ones that like you can have randomly at any time. Like, I mean, hell, I've been driving along in a vehicle and I've like had a, like, cause I can't smell, but random like sensory like taste for something that it's like, the fuck do I have that, you know, had that like, ooh, tastes like, you know, I want this now because I could taste it in my mouth. I'm like, oh my God.
Oh, like, you know? One of the ones that is reported a lot is people that are out there in the winter when there's feet of snow on the ground and it smells like springtime for some, like, just, it'll just like, you get this like a whiff of it and then it's gone. And then you'll get different stuff here and there. And there's no explanation. There's no wind. There's no breeze. It's just poof. You smell something and then it's gone.
Hmm.
Which is really weird. I mean, I understand.
Yeah.
You wouldn't get it, but
no, I wouldn't get it.
so, I mean, and that's just a sliver of the paranormal stuff that happens there. I mean, technically, I think in this area, we've possibly also had some black-eyed kid encounters in the general vicinity as well.
But I think so. They're
kind of hard to tell because that's one of those things where people don't. That's what a lot of people don't understand with Vermonters is we don't open up about stuff like that. It's a generational thing where I know for a fact that my dad has seen weird shit in the woods and he won't say anything about it because he'll think people think he's crazy.
Yeah. My dad the same way.
Farmers for hundreds of years have had weird shit happen and they wouldn't say shit if they had a mouthful. It's because
people are too easily poo-poo something instead of going, okay, you know, sitting down and like listening to them and say, you know, all right, so you said you saw this. Okay, well, maybe you did. Maybe you didn't. But they're just so judgmental.
And it's a generational thing because we started off basically as a farming community. You woke up, you got your shit done, you ate, you went to bed. You didn't want to cause a ruckus. You didn't want to cause a stir because everybody in town, because it's such small communities, you start talking about seeing something in the woods, they're going to think you're fucking crazy. And they're not going to do business with you. They're not going to talk to you. They're going to harass the shit out of you.
But it also goes back to that old, you know, the old, old timey, you know, theory of, you know, you're talking about the devil. the devil. You know, you're speaking the devil's, you know, tongue. And you're talking about stuff that you shouldn't be talking about because, you know, what goes bump in the night, you don't talk about.
Right. Perfect example of that. When I was in high school, my, technically, because this is back how old I am. We had keyboarding class. It wasn't, you know, we had that. She was our keyboarding and accounting teacher because I had to take both of those.
Yep.
Her and her husband own a farm in Orwell where back in the 90s, one of their calves got killed. The side of its head was caved in. It was all carved up, had big scratch marks and bite marks in its neck.
Who's that?
Pope.
Oh, I didn't know anything about that.
Okay. They reported it to the game warden, and the game wardens would tell him, I don't know what happened. It must have been farm equipment. Come to find out later, they would finally, like 10 to 15 years later, admit your cow got killed by a mountain lion. Didn't want to admit something that fucking simple. An actual proven animal that we don't want to tell people lives in the state because it'll scare people.
Who cares?
I've seen them fucking not a mile and a half from here at my cousin's old house, which was my grandfather's house, right out on the front lawn. It's a mountain lion. We have them, you know, but we don't want to fucking scare anybody.
No.
Which is exactly why you don't have disclosure about Sasquatch. And I'm going to steal this theory directly from Sasquatch Chronicles because it was the first time I ever heard it, and it made sense. Because if you tell somebody, you tell the general public that there is a large, possibly dangerous animal in the woods, there goes your camping and your hiking industries. Your logging industry goes bye-bye because you have to protect it all because it's an unknown species. You don't know how many there are. So you have to set up basically the entire thing as a protected wild area.
Habitat, yep.
We do it. We won't build a pipeline because there's a species of fucking mice that it would hurt. Try to tell me we wouldn't do that for something that's potentially related to us through the food chain somewhere? Come on.
We would.
We do it for owls, for fuck's sakes.
Definitely.
You know, if we were to find out all of a sudden there's another primate on our continent, you wouldn't be allowed to cut down a fucking Christmas tree.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think it's just not, you know, giving credence to what people have been saying throughout the years.
Yeah.
You know, it's been reported a lot.
Yeah.
You know, fuck, even Samuel D. Champlain said he saw one.
Every single Native American tribe in the country has stories about these.
Mm-hmm. The big hairy man.
Yep. The other one I'm starting to be convinced it might actually be real are Wendigos, because those are fucking everywhere. Because you can lump the Wendigo from like the more northern Midwest Canada. You can almost lump it in with skinwalkers because they're very similar there.
Mm-hmm.
There's one that the Algonquins talked about, which when they saw it, it was a tall, gaunt thing that had a human head, but deer antlers, which is where all the fucking pictures of Wendigos with antlers come from. It's from this neck of the woods. You can't have that many stories about stuff all be made up by different people that have never spoken to each other.
Exactly. It's the same with UFOs.
You can't Dragons, for fuck's sakes.
You know, you can't say that, you know, like UFOs, oh, they don't exist. But, you know, you've had fucking, you know, ages and ages and ages of our ancestors saying, you know, hey, the space people or the star people or whatever came here and they showed us how to do X.
We saw something.
Yeah.
You know.
We talked to them. You know, they showed us this.
We've only been flying for about 150 years at this point as a species. And we've been seeing shit flying around for hundreds and thousands of years. We have no explanation for it.
And that less than 150 years.
You know?
I mean, you know, we're, what, not even 100 years into actual flight?
Something like that.
You know?
The flood myths. You have a myth, well, not necessarily a myth, but you have stories from cultures that have never spoken to each other about a god-awful flood that wiped everything out. That shit happened somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Had to have. Fucking pyramids. Dragons.
Yeah, how can How can, you know...
And you know, I have a theory on all of this shit.
How can one culture have, you know, have pyramids that's, you know, here, and then another one on other side of the world have pyramids?
You still got your tinfoil handy?
I know.
Okay. Here we go. This is how. Because there was actually a giant flood. People that could escape did, and there was only one place for them to come to. No idea where the fuck it was. But while they were there, they all exchanged stories about shit that they were all seeing individually, and then they took it back with them generations later.
I don't believe that one.
I don't know. It's possible.
No, I think it was more of the ancient alien theory.
God damn it. Anyway.
I really do, because I think it was more like, hey, you know, we told them about it, and, you know, because there's just so much out there. You have to actually, like, just, like, look at it and go, oh, all right, well, that kind of makes sense. That kind of, you know, I mean, some stuff you can poop, like, you'll say, oh, well, that's not really right. That's kind of weird, but I won't, you know, subscribe to that portion. But other things, you're kind of like, oh, okay. You know, it kind of makes sense, because, you know, when you know, yeah, the dragons in Japan or China or Japan, whatever, China, you know, because they saw a dragon in the sky. Well, something breathed fire out through it. It's a dragon, or they came up with some term to call it a dragon.
Or they saw an actual fucking dragon.
Or they didn't see a fucking dragon. They just saw something in the sky. You know, you got the Indians, okay? And I'm talking from India.
Yeah.
That actually said that there was a fucking, you know, a war. And you have, you know, a place that's, you know, that has, you know, a place where you can go and fucking, you know, Geiger meter and go boom, boom, boom. Okay. Holy shit, radiation.
So I'm gonna say it again, like I've said before. I don't disagree that aliens have been here before in our past. I also don't think you give our ancestors enough credit. But with that being said, let's take a quick break, come back, and talk about some fucking missing people. Oh, hey, how are you? I hope you're enjoying the show. Due to a technical difficulty, when I say technical difficulty, I mean the fact that it was going to be a 2.5 hour long episode. We decided we're actually going to split this one up and release them a day apart to make up for missing an episode the previous week from this one. And also, we didn't want to subject you wonderful people to listening to us jabber for 2.5 hours straight. I don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. I get it. It's a long time. That's a long time to listen to anything, especially something like this, where we know we're not that good at what we do. But you know what? We have fun doing it anyway. So we're going to take an extended commercial break, and we will be back in approximately, I don't know, 24 hours after this episode releases. The next one should be up. So enjoy and have a great day or night or whatever. And just because you can't see out into the dark doesn't mean that the dark can't see into you.